A freshman congressman from Florida, Matt Gaetz, has proposed a bill to terminate the EPA, no less, and shift its resources and responsibilities to the states and their local governments. And this would happen by the end of 2018 under this bill. He's not alone in sponsoring legislation this session to eliminate a large federal agency. But the question is, what would it take to actually do that? Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers has been poking around for some answers, and she joins me now. Meredith, what is going on? This bill has six sponsors, I believe. Can it actually happen?
That is a good question, and that's what we're all kind of waiting for. He dropped the bill earlier this month. There's no text available yet, but in a statement he issued to one of the local news organizations down, because he's from Florida, he said the legislation is necessary because it's the states and local governments that are best positioned to, quote, regulate environmental assets within their jurisdictions. I mean, they do know what's in their backyard, what they need, what they're hearing from people about pollution, that kind of thing.
Well, they actually do perform that function now, and they report their data to the EPA, and they do so under EPA regulations is how it works.
Right. There's so much work that the states and local governments do. He says, well, let's just give them the rest of the responsibility to do it. And the same could also be argued for the education department, which is also in a bill to be proposed to for termination.
I think education came about 2 years or so after EPA was established.
Did it? Yeah, EPA came out in 1970. I got quite a history lesson in EPA covering this story. But from what I've learned in the last few days, talking to EPA alumni, environmental law experts, and former administration officials, getting rid of an agency, a large agency at that, is a whole lot easier said than done.
I don't think it's ever actually been done, but yeah, so what do they tell you?
Yeah, so let's start with the claim that states and local governments are better positioned to regulate their environmental assets. First off, acid rain doesn't just stop at a state line, just like water can flow across county borders, no matter how polluted it is. Now, what happens if you're a company that has businesses in multiple states, and each of those states has different regulations concerning environmental protection? Or from the state side, what if you really want to crack down on pollution, but your neighboring state is like, nah, we're just going to go with the minimum requirements? There's just a lot of questions there. But for the sake of the conversation, let's say Congress does decide to abolish EPA and shift all the responsibility to the states. What would happen first? And one of the people I talked to is Danny Werfel. He was an acting commissioner at the IRS and was both the deputy controller and federal controller at the Office of Management and Budget during the Obama administration.
I think it would be an extraordinarily complex set of action plans and resource planning and communication and training and handoffs and stakeholder engagement to go from the world we live today with EPA in place to a world in the future without one. And it's for that reason that I think one of the key questions that one would need to ask as they think about eliminating a federal agency is over what time frame.
That time frame is key here when considering that Gaetz wants EPA gone by 2018. Werfel told me there are three things you really have to consider when you're looking at a major overhaul of a major agency. First, you've got workforce, so not just the individuals who are going to be impacted, whether they're getting laid off, removed, or their job is changing, but also the unions and collective bargaining agreements that those individuals are a part of. There's going to be obvious pushback. And then you have to think about geography. An agency probably has offices around the country, some that might have a physically large footprint, and that's going to impact local community when you have a giant federal office building sitting empty, and the people who are living in that area and eating there and raising their families there are also gone. And you also have to think about the congressional jurisdictions. And if you're shifting requirements on reporting and regulations, maybe that will fall under another agency or under another committee overarching topic. And that means there's a change in the leadership. And so maybe someone who's a chairman of one committee who's used to dealing with this environmental issue is no longer going to have it. So Werfel said it would just be an extraordinarily complex set of action plans, resource planning, communication handoffs that would need to happen. And when you only have 2 years to do it, that's a lot of work.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. So let's look at EPA specifically. Why is that the target of Gaetz?
So I talked to a couple EPA alumni about this. EPA has an interesting origin story, and I think Clifford Villa, he's an assistant law professor at the University of New Mexico and also a formal legal counsel for EPA, does a good job of telling it.
It's really about not protecting beautiful places so much as protecting places like Flint, Michigan, and Houston, and places where people live and breathe and work and go to school, and dealing with a lot of effects of contamination. So while the mission has always been protecting human health and the environment, the focus and the priority has always been human health. And while that hasn't changed, the regulatory programs to protect human health have shifted somewhat.
The EPA started in 1970, the same year the Clean Air Act was passed. And then 2 years later, it was the Clean Water Act. And while clean air and water is something we take for granted now, the agency has been dealing with what VIA called a legacy of contamination. So now it's dealing with mining and waste disposal, nuclear facilities, bad sediment and riverbanks. There's even the educational part of trying to explain to immigrant families coming here that maybe you shouldn't be eating this fish from this river you caught it in because it's not safe and perhaps you just can't read the sign. You're lost in translation. So the EPA's role has really broadened under that concept of protection of public health.
Well, I think one of the questions maybe some people like Congressman Gates and others have is when EPA issues a regulation, is it within the scope of the law that enabled it? And
right.
I think that's really where the argument and some of the anger might come from. And the cost of regulations.
Right.
Because they do have a cost. And so everything has to be subject to cost benefit. But you also talked to a law professor at Indiana University, James Barnes, who was chief of staff to the first EPA. What did he say?
Yes, so Professor Barnes, he was back there right when the agency started, and he said this is kind of attention is all part of an ongoing struggle over political power.
You see swings back and forth. The administration changes. They try to put a new approach in place. It gets challenged in court. Court knocks it down. Another administration comes in, takes a different tack.
Professor Barnes was actually a pretty interesting person to talk to because, again, he was there watching an agency come together when it first started. He told me about how you got some young, wide-eyed workers looking to do some good in a smaller agency, while some didn't really like it and moved on. But then years later, those people who got their feet wet at EPA were now getting hired on as managers. So there was a preservation of intellectual capital, is how he put it. So totally abolishing the EPA, he said, would be pretty hard to do. But he also admitted there are some things that can be fixed or modernized. The problem is once you get them open to interpretation, you know, then there's that balance of power and will there be kind of a fight over them?
Well, maybe Congress could step up and say, well, we don't want to eliminate the agency, but if it wants an agency to act within certain rails or parameters, establish them and make sure they do.
Right. That might be more legislation coming down then.
Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, thanks for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can check out her latest story and all of our coverage of the first 100 days of the Trump administration and everything happening in Congress, the first 100 days of the 115th at federalnewsradio.com.